A Rayo Original Podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
I thought we were going to get away with not having the floodlights on.
Yes.
Because Sister Holly is in charge of proceedings.
It's like being on Mastermind.
It is.
It's like we've stepped into heaven, though.
Really?
Isn't it? A little bit.
Feeling like some kind of police interrogation.
Yeah, it definitely feels like that. Really.
Anyway, it's another Confessions podcast from your friends at Greatest Hits Radio. Brother Matt, blinded in the gutter.
Yes, here I am.
Sister Holly in charge of the lamps and the cupboard of tat.
Absolutely.
And Sister Susie is not, well, she's in the pub, but she's hopefully in bed in the pub.
With her
being not well and everything. Coming up on the show, we're going to be gathering around the parish notice board for some top five-star reviews and some correspondence. Matt will have singled out all the praise for himself.
Yes, I will.
We'll also head down the cold marble steps to the not-for-broadcast section where we store the confessions that have been delicately thrown into the recycling bin on the basis of the fact they're filth. And we'll have the fabulous confessions which made it to air on the Drive Time Show, Greatest Hits Radio, 4 till 7. Thanks for listening, including Mike's colonoscopy confusion, Doctor, Doctor, give me the news, Foghorn's terrible tree tale, your cruel device, Dave's confession, Ace, King, Queen, Jack and 10, but first it's another Mike's number 2 toilet debacle in Help, I Need Somebody.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Simon and the Confessional Collective says, Mike, gather round, and slightly overwritten, by the way.
Oh, is it?
He says, gather round and let me spin you a yarn about the day my parental pride took a very sharp, very public nosedive. It was a simpler time many years ago. We were enjoying the holy grail of British cuisine, a Sunday lunch at a quaint, possibly draughty, local country pub. My son, a charming little tyrant of approximately 6 years old, suddenly announced with the gravitas of a prime minister declaring war that he required a number 2.
Okay.
I should have said.
Yes. Yeah.
I should have done a little warning about that.
But anyway, there it is.
He's 6. It doesn't matter. It's slightly different. So my 6-year-old insists with the kind of fierce determination usually reserved for hoarding sweets that he could handle this monumental task of internal logistics solo. My wife and I, beaming with a completely unjustified sense of progressive parenting, decided to encourage this nascent self-sufficiency.
Well, they're overwriting, yeah. Okay.
Go forth, little warrior, and conquer the porcelain throne, I said. I may be paraphrasing my mental monologue here. We get the idea, Mike. I escorted him to the thankfully deserted lavatory, installed him in a stall like a valuable piece of luggage, made sure the door was firmly locked and delivered the classic parental mic drop, any problems, just give us a shout. I then retreated to the table, swelling with smug, my son is growing up kind of pride. I pictured him emerging, caped in confidence, ready to regale us with his triumph over the digestive system. And then time moved on. Minutes passed. At least 20 of them. 20 minutes is an eternity when a tiny human is allegedly engaged in biological masonry. My wife gave me the look. You know the one that says, your independent adult is likely currently redecorating the floor with loo roll. Assuming his usual struggle, the classic 6-year-old wiping conundrum, I slipped back into the men's room. Trying not to shatter his fragile, freshly minted independence, I approached the stall and I adopted my softest, most conspiratorial whisper, the kind you reserve for delicate rescue missions. Are you okay, pal? Do you need any help wiping?
Oh, what?
And then from within the silent sanctuary of the stall came a noise that iced my very soul. It was a deep, rumbling baritone, heavy with shock and existential dread. The voice said, no thanks, I'm good. Well, my internal monologue obviously screeched to a halt and the blood drained from my face faster than a politician fleeing a tough question. I had just offered to personally assist a complete adult stranger with the most intimate post-lunch cleanup imaginable. I executed a retreat so swift, so devoid of dignity, it would have made a startled meerkat look leisurely. Enough with the metaphors, by the way, Mike.
Yeah.
I burst back into the dining room, a shattered husk of a man always carrying on, only to find my alleged 6-year-old bathroom bandit sitting happily at our table, munching on his roast potatoes. The revelation? The little scamp hadn't needed a number two at all. He'd merely used the request as an excuse for a brief adventure, abandoned the stall the moment I left, and slipped out, unnoticed by all of us, to the far more appealing children's play area.
Oh, right, I see.
Unaccompanied. I tried to explain my catastrophic faux pas to my wife, but she was already dissolving into an uncontrollable, high-pitched hyena laugh. We decided quite rightly that the pub's atmosphere had suddenly become distinctly less appealing, and we made an extremely hurried exit. But to the poor, unsuspecting gentleman whose private moment of reflection I so horrifically interrupted with a bizarrely tender offer of hygienic assistance, I am profoundly sorry and therefore ask for your forgiveness. May your bathroom moments forever be undisturbed by well-meaning but utterly mortified father. You get the general chip. He's got lots to say, is Mike. But essentially, he assumed his son was in the stall. It was not. It was a bruising chap who did not need any help. Thank you very much, Sister Holly, making a welcome return.
Yes, well, I'm not going to forgive this. And I know it was an honest mistake. But when you're on the toilet, you're vulnerable, you know. And I've been on the lavatory before in my life. And I've had it where I know, it's shocking. And then someone's knocked on the door and gone, Jenny, you're nearly done. And it's really scary and you don't know what to say because there you are. You don't like it. Talking to somebody through a toilet stall is really stressful. Yes. And I feel sorry for the man who had to respond. And so that's why I'm not forgiving this, I'm afraid.
Yeah. No, I just like the fact he said, no, thanks, I'm good.
I'm good,
I've considered the option. But no, I think everything's fine. Brother Matthew.
Yes, so it turns out there are some offers you can refuse, and that is certainly one of them. I'm going to forgive. I mean, what? Who chooses going to the play area over roast potatoes? You're going to grow out of that sunshine, I think, come later in life. Why didn't he stay in there? He shouldn't have stayed in the loo. He just, you know, stay in the loo. That way you would have spotted. You would have been able to foil it, wouldn't you? But, you know, these things happen. So, or maybe they don't. But anyway, I'm going to forgive for reasons I can't quite work out.
No,
thankfully, here come the fine young cannibals. So, yes, I'm going to forgive. Well done. Excellent story.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
I played the Fine Young Cannibals just to stop things. Otherwise,
it was never going to end, was it?
Keep going.
Yeah.
All of which begs the question to Holly. Did you ever find out who Jenny was?
No.
So they just knocked on the door and said, Jenny, and they just assumed you were Jenny.
I was, yeah.
You don't know who Jenny was?
No, not a clue.
You never went out and found out?
No idea. Okay. Yeah. Once I got out of the toilet stall, they were gone.
Mystery.
Due to embarrassment, really. Yeah.
Mike's tale inspired this response on the People's Verdict.
But Lindsay in High Peak in Derbyshire says, not forgiven. I'm absolutely with Holly on this one. Knocking on or shouting through the lavatory door can only ever achieve the exact opposite of what might be intended. My elderly father started to do that to me just to make sure I'm okay, to which I always respond, go away and stop mithering. Golden rule, don't mither them in the loo.
Wise advice.
Yes.
Courtesy of Matthew. Right, over to the parish notice board. I believe Matthew has been observing some five-star reviews.
Indeed I have. So five stars, says Elaine Gwither. Absolutely the best podcast out there. Love listening during my Saturday morning gym visit, though I do get some strange looks as I giggle throughout my session. Love Simon, Susie, Holly. But Matt is the best! Gotta love someone who forgives absolutely everything. With you there, Elaine. Well
almost,
done.
Almost
Mr. Chicken Pot Pie 123 says, five stars. Stunning podcast with stunning people. I can't believe I've only just discovered this. I have so much to catch up on. Emoji of a...
How many Mr.
Sheep?
Chicken Pot Pies can there be? I mean, presumably at least
123. I'm going to guess. Yeah. There was one, so he went for that. Well done. Duran Duran fan, 65, says five stars. The Confessions podcast is the highlight of my week.
Really?
I absolutely love listening to the show on my drive home back from work. We're literally on the air then. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's like a Friday night treat. I never miss an episode. I teach PE at a secondary school, and I even popped on the podcast on the way back from one of our away games in the minibus. It was great fun. Father Simon's incredible.
Hello.
Sister Susie is lovely. Sister Holly is fun.
Yeah.
But Matt is the best. Yes, that's all in all caps. Well done, Duran Duran fan 65. Also, is he single? Asking for a friend. Very much not.
Asking for a friend.
No.
I like how she asked that in at the end. Well, I presume it's a she.
Yeah. When you say very much not, it's a yes or a no.
No. Then the answer there, because my wife might be listening to that. Yeah, well, even if she's listening, I'm very much not single. So there you go.
My wife's not listening, I'm sure of that.
No.
Anyway, Holly, what have you selected from the notice board? Anything lovely?
Yes, I've got this lovely message here from Kate. She says, 5 stars each for Simon, Matt, Holly and Susie.
20 stars.
That's 20 in total, she says. I have been listening to and inflicting on my family your confessions for many, many years now. And hearing about the frolics and shenanigans is the highlight of my day.
Where did that voice come from? Oh, I love what you do, my voice.
That's a Matt voice for sure.
I love Simon's pragmatism and Matt's moral compass.
Hasn't got one,
no.
Holly and Susie have a somewhat more youthful outlook, which I suspect will become somewhat more lenient as they experience the world. Oh, the youth of today. I now work as a maths and physics tutor and quite often miss the regular confession slot and depend on the podcast to catch up. My students and I always have hot drinks and biscuits while we work, and I think that their education would be further advanced by knowledge of Greatest Hits Radio, in particular by a GHR mug from the Tat Cupboard. Here's hoping that you can see your way clear to ensuring that tea, coffee, hot chocolate is in a suitably educational receptacle. Love to all and keep up the good work. Kate Cooper.
Well, thank you, Kate. And your email was read out by Holly.
Yes.
But maybe her heart is hardened or maybe she's feeling a bit soft.
Well, let's find out.
Can Kate and her hardworking pupils nick a mug from us?
I think so. Yeah, you know, it's for educational purposes. We aim to educate here on the Confessions podcast. Mm. Obviously, that's our main
purpose. What sort of education is this?
As to things you shouldn't do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Laughing and learning, that's what we're doing.
Exactly. And so that's why I'm going to send them a mug.
Okay, Kate, thank you very much indeed. And if you're as desperate as Kate is, or you just got a fancy reason that you want a mug or some tat, or you want to send us a very fine thing to stick on the parish notice board. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. A couple of mentions at this point to Tracy, Lightbound, Janine, Robert, Jane, 109825. My goodness, it's like a megahertz.
Wow.
Who were amongst those who got in touch with the secret code phrase from last week's podcast, which was, of course, double tap to the sternum.
Oh, yes, do you remember that? Yeah, very good.
Matt will have a new secret code phrase at the end of this podcast. I imagine he might have worked one out already. I don't know, but hang on for that. Now it's time we head into the darkness and take the walk of life into the Mark Knopfler broadcast section. Mark doesn't actually appear here, obviously, if you're new to this particular podcast. Thanks for just turning up when we're, you know, a few years in. This is just the confessions too dangerous or disgusting for tea time listening. Starting with Mike. Mike. Any mention of soiled underwear at a party?
Wow. Already. Well, that's 3 words in.
It's never going to make it onto the show. But the fact you threw it out of the window and it accidentally landed on a neighbour's car.
Ooh. It was going to land somewhere, wasn't it?
Neighbour's car.
What do you mean it was going to land? I mean, I suppose it could have landed, I don't know.
On someone, couldn't it? Could
have landed that would have been someone. A lot worse, I suppose.
So maybe we could have got away with that? No, I don't think so.
No.
So, no, Mike.
You're
cast into the pit of doom. Mm-hmm. And Ricky, I know you hated working at the local donut shop. Oh, where's this going to go? But licking all the donuts on your last day of work as an act of revenge is incredibly gross. I mean, we've seen all that on The Simpsons and various other shows. It could have been a whole lot worse.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. No, it's not cool, though.
No. We don't.
In fact, in the opening episode of Pluribus, which is the new
show. Oh, yes. I've not show. Got into
yes.
that yet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a bit of donut licking there.
Oh, is there?
With disastrous world-changing consequences.
Oh, really?
There is. Yeah, okay. I know what you mean.
So, Mike, think of that next time you decide to behave badly at work. No, sorry, that was Ricky, not Mike. Anyway. It's all nonsense. Back to the confessions that did make the cut. Mike's hospital horror. Doctor, doctor, give me the news.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today, I think we'll say it's a PG, maybe PG kind of thing, because it's a little bit medical.
Okay.
But, you know, that sort of thing. Anyway, Father Simon, Brother Matthew, Sister Holly, and all the Collective Confessions crew. My name is Mike, and I have a confession that, whilst thankfully left everyone completely unharmed, in which there was no malice or dishonourable intentions, remains one of the most embarrassing moments of my recent life. This particular day began quite innocently a few months back. My dad had to go into hospital for a routine procedure. Now, I'm not entirely sure if the name of this specific procedure can be mentioned, given that you are a tea time show, but it's important to disclose this information to give you the full story. He was in for a colonoscopy.
Oh, right.
Which is, of course, a very important exam. Over 40, it's a good idea to have. I dropped dad off and used the free time to nip into the nearby town for a few essentials. Before long, the call came that the procedure was over and he was ready to be collected. So I drove back, parked up in the 15 minutes maximum patient pickup bay, and hopped out, only to realise I had absolutely no idea where I was supposed to go to collect him. Quick phone call to my mum gave me helpful directions. Go in through the doors on your left. Simple enough, I thought. I stepped through the doors and I found myself in a completely empty corridor with no reception, no people, and no idea where I was going. But there on the wall was one of those big blue hospital boards listing the different departments, and each one was colour-coded with a matching stripe on the floor. Scanning down the list, I very quickly identified a word that was col something something scopy, and in my haste, I thought, there you go, it's got to be that one. I followed the matching colour along the line in the corridor. After about 5 minutes of brisk walking, I began to wonder if it was supposed to be quite this far away. Then I spotted another blue sign, and there it was again, col something something scopy, so it's obviously the right place. Same colour, off I go, determined to find Dad before my 15-minute pickup window expired. After what felt like a grand tour of the entire hospital, I finally arrived at a reception desk. At last, I thought, I've made it. I walked up, slightly out of breath, and said cheerily to the nurse behind the desk, "Hello there, I hope you can help me. I'm here to pick up my father." The nurse frowned slightly, looking rather puzzled. Thinking I hadn't given enough information, I added helpfully, "He was in for a colonoscopy." And it was at that moment, Father Simon and I started to notice my surroundings and saw that there were a lot of variously sized women sat in the waiting room. The nurse's confusion deepened. After an awkward pause, she said, "I think you might be in the wrong place." I glanced around and there it was, another blue board. This time I looked more closely and realised with absolute horror that I hadn't been following the line to colonoscopy at all. I'd been following a line to colposcopy. As you know, a medical examination of the cervix.
Oh, right.
I was standing in the maternity wing,
right,
surrounded by very expectant mothers, having just announced to the nurse that I was there to pick up my elderly father.
Right.
After several flustered apologies, I turned on my heel, beat a hasty retreat, trying to retrace my steps back through the labyrinth of coloured stripes. Eventually, after another call to Mum, who admitted she might have sent me the wrong way and I should have in fact gone through the doors on my right, I finally located Dad, none the wiser, got him safely back to the car just in time to avoid any parking fines. But Father Simon, obviously I have to humbly ask for forgiveness, not from my father, who quite rightfully laughed so hard when I told him what had happened, but to the poor, confused receptionist who suddenly had to deal with the break from checking in pregnant women to a slightly out-of-breath man in his 40s declaring he was there to pick up his elderly father, which clearly was a medical impossibility, but anyway, yes, she went along with it. I just hope my father was okay because he was laughing so much, and you don't want to do that when you've just had procedure.
No.
Mike needs, no harm, I suppose, done, really. But anyway, Sister Holly, what are you saying?
I mean, hospitals are confusing. I understand how actually he could get lost because they are quite big places.
Yes.
I'm not going to forgive, though, because he should have just read properly. It's not really that hard.
That's true.
It's not actually that difficult. I know colonoscopy, whatever the other word was.
Colposcopy.
There's a P in that one. I mean, it's really
that
rather obvious. He should have noticed this, and so that's why I'm not forgiving this at all.
Maybe it was the Romans' fault for inventing Latin.
Inventing Latin? Let's bring them in.
Yes,
I like it.
I think so. Brother Matthew, what do you say?
I'm going to forgive, mainly because of the Latin thing, but also because, I mean, wasn't it everyone else's fault? He didn't do anything wrong. Obviously, maybe he should have read the signs a little bit better. But his mother sent him the wrong way. His father was no help. Why wasn't he ringing him up? Why didn't he ring and say, I'm here, turn right when you get into the hospital? That would have saved a lot of bother. And I'm sure everyone on the reception desk loved it and laughed heartily at it all day. And also, 15 minutes, he did it all in 15 minutes. That's amazing. Yes. And he went all that way and he got back and he didn't get a fine on the 15 minutes. So a triumph, that's what I say. So well done all round, troubles all round. I'm definitely going to forgive.
You would think that, I bet, in a hospital, that can't be the only time someone has confused colposcopy.
They need to come up with a different name.
Colonoscopy.
Come on,
hospitals. Come on, Latin. Try and do better.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
We did later on in the programme. In fact, pretty soon after we'd made those outrageous claims and blaming Latin.
It turns out
it's not Latin at all, it's Greek.
Greek, it was the Greeks.
So we can blame the Greeks.
Classic Greek
behaviour. Anyway, it turns out it's more common than you think. Here we go, this is something on the People's Verdict.
And Brian says, I forgive, after suffering a similar episode when once asking for directions to neurology, only to be sent to urology.
I see.
Another confession for another day, perhaps.
Still to come, Foghorn has some tree trouble in Your Cruel Device. But first, it's Dave's confession. Ace, King, Queen, Jack and Ten.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Dear Simon and the Confessional Collective, as I'd prefer not to spend the rest of my days in the Tower of London, let's say my name is Dave for the purposes of this tale.
Okay.
I guess it's a little distasteful, 12 certificate if you're eating. Thank you. Some years ago, I worked for a very well-known public services organisation whose work you regularly report on in your very own show. He then does a couple of lines which says what it is, but I'm not going to mention that. Thank you. Great excitement ensued when it was revealed that we were due to receive a visit from a certain Charles Philip Arthur George Mountbatten Windsor, then a mere prince, but now, of course, our very own dear king. Being a jolly important kind of chap myself, says Dave. Okay. I worked as part of a senior leadership team of this particular organisation, which meant, unlike the poor drones toiling away beneath us, we in the SLT, as we call the senior leadership team, enjoyed the comforts of our own dedicated office suite on the top floor. Yeah. In a throwback to the 1950s, the benefits of this included our very own bathroom arrangement. For the gentlemen, one entered a door from the main corridor, and then there were three separate cubicles, each with their own hand-washing facilities. Very civilised and no doubt no different to the palatial arrangements at Greatest Hits Radio. I'm sure you'd agree.
Their own sink in the cubicle.
Yeah, that's what we have here.
But now it's 2025, and we're back in the day, we would not have had this at all. But yes, you're quite right that we do. As the day of the visit grew closer, involvement from the royal household began to increase. Apart from the expected security arrangements, we grew accustomed to a couple of bright young things from the prince's retinue. I think they were called Tarquin and Felicity.
Yeah, yeah.
They were nosing around, no doubt, to ensure that all was entirely up to snuff for the visit. This included setting aside a lavatory just for the use of the royal backside if required, and entertainingly involved the fitting of a towel rail specifically for the purpose of holding his very own hand towel, no doubt woven from the finest Egyptian cotton. But this is Dave just making it up at this point. But, oh, the horror. On the day before the visit itself, Tarquin and Felicity's choice of throne turned out to be one of our very own, one of our very own toilets. You're right, one of our own dedicated executive booths.
Yes.
Meaning do not enter tape was put across the corridor doorway, thereby rendering all three out of action. Well, clearly this was a breach of my human rights and would involve me using the same facilities as the great unwashed down below, if you'll pardon the expression. And so stirred feelings of a republican nature deep within me. However, as the day progressed, feelings of an entirely different form also began to stir. Cocking a snook at the risk, I ducked through the tape and took up residence in my usual position, whereupon proceedings took their usual course. Contented both ideologically and physiologically, I washed my hands, dried them on the lovely, fluffy monogrammed towel thoughtfully provided, and flushed. Oh. My enthusiastic performance had led to a little bit of blockage, I'm afraid.
Oh, no!
And with a sense of rising panic, I flushed again and then again, but still evidence of my revolutionary fervour had persisted. And then, as if the very fates were mocking me, I heard the approach of Tarquin and Felicity, no doubt coming to check that all was well with their arrangements. Seeing that the chosen cubicle was, in fact, occupied, there were startled cries of outrage and despair. Good Lord, cried Tarquin. What kind of cad or bounder can be in there? Indeed, said Felicity, he must be a rotter of the first order.
This didn't happen.
Yeah,
correct. Absolutely right. These exhortations were supplemented with much knocking on the door and demands to reveal myself. Well, dear listener, what to do in such circumstances? I take no pride in confessing that I cowered silently in my booth of shame, perspiring profusely, and waited until the knocking had subsided and the two flunkies had left the scene, whereupon I slunk away, leaving the evidence of my crime for someone else to
deal with. Really?
No.
With the benefit of hindsight, I now see the error of my ways, and I humbly beg forgiveness from the members of the facilities management team, who no doubt had to sort everything out, and Tarquin and Felicity, whose fragile sensibilities have probably never recovered, and of course from our very own dear monarch, whose privy council was somewhat tarnished. Respectively, yours, that's Dave, who's asking, obviously, for an awful lot of trouble. Nice nice mix on the music there,
well,
I thought. No one will have noticed.
No.
At all. Okay, so we're into Royal Flush territory, which is why it's called. We've called it Ace, King, Queen, Jack and Ten, because that's a Royal Flush, as long as...
Oh, yes, of course.
As long as it's of the same suit.
Same suit, yeah.
Of course,
yes.
But I thought that would be too long. Anyway, Sister Holly, what do you say?
Well, a snobby senior leadership member. I've never heard of such a thing.
Well done, Holly.
Yeah. I just thought his behaviour was dreadful from the start. Really not good. Not good at all. I'm, of course, I'm actually distantly related to the royal family.
Obviously.
So obviously I've got a real
say
on this.
Yes.
And so really hard, not forgiven at all. Not good, really, using the royal loo and then just leaving
evidence.
Behind. It's not good. And
yes.
So not forgiving at all, a bit gross. It's sick and wrong. I'm throwing that in there. There we go.
There, it took a while, but we got there. Sick and wrong. Matthew?
I'm going to forgive. I mean, obviously, you wouldn't really want it to still be there, and obviously a couple of flushes, and hopefully a few more flushes, and it would also maybe look at your diet, Dave. That's what I would say. But apart from that, you know, I mean, did the royal really need to have their own loo? I'm not sure that's in the constitution.
It's an unwritten constitution.
It's an unwritten one. Of course it is. Well, it wouldn't be. We wouldn't worry. Write that down. Yes, for all of the above reasons, maybe no, I do forgive. Yes.
So you think if we had a written constitution,
it should have those clauses 84. Yes, no toilets for the royals. Yes,
okay,
that would be
right.
Ours.
Well, let's see where we go with the people's verdict.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners. Simon Mayo's confessions.
And here we go with. And she's not really a U certificate. I think it's more of a 12 just because of the...
That's quite a leap.
That changed quite rapidly.
I just reconsidered. Anyway, it comes from Foghorn. Thank you, Foghorn, for this. Father Simon, the Confessions Collective. The timeline for this tale is set in the late 90s. My girlfriend at the time, now my wife, and I had purchased our first home together and had begun regular household chores, decorating, DIY, gardening, and feeling generally proud of our nest building. The backstory revolves around an antisocial tree, a Compresso cyparis leandi. Leyland cypress tree, as it's known to most folk. These days, local planning authorities will accept and enforce ASBOs on these trees to limit and control their impact to third-party property, a local character, streetscape, that kind of thing, but not back then. This tree was in our neighbour's garden and jammed tight between our shared boundary fence and garage rear wall. Now, these trees can grow 3 to 4 feet in height a year. They can reach the mature height of 50 feet or more. Unpruned, these beasts can adequately outgrow their space, followed by foundation damage, subsidence, and broken brickwork to any structure within their root zone. I think he's just laying the implications, the stakes.
Yeah.
The tree's current speed of growth suggested this could be very soon. This particular tree was already as tall as our house and cast a sizable shadow over our patio, which increased with each passing month. I considered speaking to my neighbours, who I shall call Donald and Daisy, and raise my concerns with them about the damage, but pondered, what if they didn't care about the tree? They were a stern couple who shared very few words other than the occasional morning or just a nod. Donald worked in the armed services and Daisy was in the police. They were therefore not around much anyway. I felt there was only one solution, really, with limited comeback and plausible deniability. I would not discuss it at all with Donald and Daisy. Instead, I would poison their tree under cloak of darkness.
Okay. Wow.
This seemed a reasonable solution.
Did it?
It right. would therefore prematurely die and the potential risk of root damage would be removed. I purchased two separate commercial strength weed-killing herbicides and calculated their strengths and then doubled the concentrations just to be sure. The herbicide was a systemic poison, so it could be sprayed onto the green needles as well as around the base of the tree for maximum effect. I already owned a large high-pressure spray bottle, but considered the standard 3-foot metal spray lance would not reach the upper branches of such a tall tree. This was a major project, Father Simon, requiring mechanical modifications to my high-pressure spray bottle, and so I purchased enough lance extensions to extend my dispersal reach to a length of 16 feet.
Great wow. dispersal news here, ooh. Yes.
Which is 5 metres, in case you were wondering. The night came. The poison was mixed and decanted into the pressure bottle. The lance extensions were all connected end to end, with the final jet lance now set to spray at the correct angle to administer a maximised and concentrated dose of death. I had disabled my rear garden security light and was wearing a black hoodie, black joggers, black gloves and a black open-faced balaclava.
Blimey, no.
Raised to cover all but my eyes, which were protected with safety goggles. I tiptoed stealthily into my garden and began to slowly pump the pressure bottle in preparation to release the herbicide death agent with maximum force, coverage and height. About 20 full pumps and the pressure release valve began to fizz, advising me the 10-litre bottle was at maximum pressure, and I slowly lifted the extended lance towards the tree. I aimed the tip and squeezed the trigger. What followed next was a loud bang, more like the sound of a crack from a starting pistol, as the top third of the lance launched into the sky over the fence like a javelin, landing somewhere on the rear lawn of my neighbour. What followed was the gushing of all the poison emptying out of a now unrestricted and somewhat shortened lance, drenching the entire tree and surrounding areas, emptying the pressure bottle's contents completely. Over the next few silent minutes, my mind focused on the gravity of my actions, the gravity and consequences of my actions. How can I possibly retrieve the spray head and top third of my lance, which was lying somewhere in Donald and Daisy's garden? I would need to rapidly plan the repatriation of all the evidence. So still in my black ninja clothing and balaclava, I slowly crawled under a raised fence panel on my elbows, in a full prone position, commando crawl and drag myself across the neighbour's wet lawn, which was coated with death. Eventually, I found the lance and spray head. Slowly, in reverse, I retreated, still on my elbows and tummy, crawling back into my garden. Over the next 2 weeks, the lush green tree rapidly died, changed to a rust orange and dropped its needles, along with a rapid yellowing of the entire lawn area and the death of many border shrubs in Donald and Daisy's garden. Simultaneously, I had been digging a patio at the rear of our garage, so Donald did have a conversation with me one day, commenting that their tree had unexpectedly died. Perhaps it was as a result of my excavation. Anyway, he then stated he had always hated the tree himself. And he was now going to arrange cutting it down. I offered to help, but Donald said he'd do it himself. But Father Simon, clearly, as you can see, I need forgiveness for simply not having the courage to ask the reasonable question to remove the tree. I also ask forgiveness for the unplanned collateral damage from my homemade Agent Orange attack, which left scorched earth for several years afterwards. Wow. The lawn did start to grow back after 2 years. Thank you, Father Simon. Just writing this down has been a weight lifted. Well, it might be a weight lifted, but you wait until you hear what the panel here are going to say, because Sister Holly is looking very fierce.
Yeah. I mean, Donald and Daisy didn't even seem that bad. Like, you could have just had an honest chat with them and they would have agreed with you, and then this would have been absolutely fine. This would have never have happened. Not only did you damage their property because you damaged the tree, you also trespassed onto their property, which is not good. illegal. And so for those reasons, yes, I'm not forgiving
See,
at all.
See, I told you. Illegal, of course, but they're the neighbours. Anyway, Brother Matthew.
I'm going to forgive. I mean, as it turned out, it was fine, wasn't it? Because it turned out Donald and Daisy didn't like the tree either. They'd have probably been fine with it. Probably would have been a good idea to have a chat with them before you decided to poison all of their lawn and coat it with death. Yes, I'm going to forgive because, you know, it was all fine. I mean, how did they not work out it was him? It didn't take Morse to work out that it's your neighbour when they've tried to kill your tree.
Confess All. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
I suspect that as soon as you have neighbours and annoying vegetation in a confession, there'll be quite a few more.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And particularly involving Lalandi trees.
Yes, because who hasn't had a problem with the neighbours and their big trees or their, you know, chucking over dog poo and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, right. Yeah, I mean, there's that as well.
Over the hedge, that's what you do, isn't it?
Is it what you do? I don't think so. To get involved.
Is this the time to mention pampas grass again? I feel like it is. That also comes... Yeah.
Well, you know, if you're in the weeds, if you're right down in the... you look, there's always a bit of...
Anyway,
the trouble with the pampas grass idea is that you've got some outside your wonderful new house, haven't you?
You said you had it in the back of your garden, Matt.
Oh, is it me?
Yes.
Oh, yes, we did. Yes, I did. I found some at the bottom. It's at the bottom of the garden, so it's obviously not a sign to anyone. But then I ripped it out because. I'm not up for the whatever that is.
Is that right?
So yes, thanks very much.
Yeah. Anyway, not guilty, my lad. That's what I'm saying. That is the end. Surprisingly, of this week's Confessions podcast. If you have a tale to pass on, confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Over to Brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase.
Yes, and from the Lalandi confession, we are going to be taking the code phrase "coated with death." Coated with death is your
Dr. Mosh
code phrase.
Would like that.
He would love that, yes.
If you've made it this far, you can post this week's code phrase on Threads or Blue Sky or even Instagram, although I'm still not very good at
that. Have you worked out how to...
No. And I also then forget that it's there.
Yeah.
Lots of photographs.
So many things I take kind of... Oh, photographs of everyone looking fabulous.
Yes, and
their wonderful
cabbages
lives.
And things like that. Anyway.
Hashtag blessed. dear. Come on. Not that I'm on it. I don't know.
Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads and Instagram, or just Simon Mayo on Blue Sky. Remember to leave us a 5-star review. Matt loves those. Also, you can find Matt on all kinds of... you're on
X. I'm still in the sewer, yes, on X.
You are,
Yeah.
So you can send all of it to him as well.
Yeah.
And, of course, share the podcast with your friends and neighbours in the bath. We'll be back next week, or a shower, in fact, is better for, you know, preservation of water supply.
I agree.
Back next week with another fresh batch of confessions. Until then, from the cupboard of tat, Sister Holly says...
See you later, alligator.
From the gutter, Brother Matt performs these words.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Matt's been excited all year.
Yeah, can't wait. Got my special hat.